The Wicked Planet podcast is a platform for exploring alternative perspectives and discussing various theories, including those considered controversial or unconventional. While we strive for accuracy and objectivity, the views expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast creators, hosts, guests, or sponsors. Listeners are encouraged to critically evaluate information presented and conduct their own research. The content provided is for entertainment and informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional advice or fact. We encourage open-mindedness and respectful discourse, while acknowledging that opinions and theories discussed may vary widely. And with that, enjoy the show.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm coming. Hold on. Ron, what are you doing here?
There's something I need to tell you. Are we alone? Quick, grab anything you can. We gotta go. Is there a back door? They're coming. They're coming. Oh God, they're here. Go. Damn this wicked planet.
Welcome to the Wicked Planet podcast, episode 150. Ron has started collecting police vehicles. There's one out there with computers in it and all. It's kind of sketchy. Turns out he was once an infomaniac victim, okay? He was assaulted by one, and it was not by choice. We're joined by Tristan as well. I have very little words. He's still banned from the Telegram chat, so if anyone sees him in there, please let us know immediately. And myself, having a dark night of the soul every single day this week, Pisces moon, boo. With that Pisces moon energy. So it is an oceanic disaster of emotions for me, people. What's going on, guys?
What the fuck was that?
That's what I got.
That was your intro.
I don't have the pizzazz tonight. You're right. People, so, I lack pizzazz. God. I'm so, sorry.
Kristen, explain, because I'm not into the, I'm not too familiar on astrology.
Explain anything.
So explain that. What the whole Pisces and whatever you said it was.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, a dark night of the soul doesn't necessarily have to do with moon or astrology. It's just kind of when you're just like constantly kind of going through these motions of dark energy that you're pulling through and pushing through and navigating through and just getting out of, okay? Right now, the most recent full moon was a Pisces full moon, so that right. moves us into that Pisces energy. But every person has a birth chart, obviously. When you're born into a certain alignment of planets. And so, like, my sun sign is a Capricorn. Mm. My moon sign is a Pisces. So being a Pisces moon with a Pisces full moon energy, it's heavy.
That's why you put out bangers of intros to podcasts.
Yes.
When your Pisces moon is in full effect with whatever else moon you have.
Well, the Pisces moon is always ruling me, so it's just
aren't
double.
You a Capricorn?
Yeah. I'm like, that's my sun sign.
I knew there was something wrong with you. What's your actual sign? Capricorn.
Yeah, Capricorn is my sun sign, and then the moon is my Pisces, or my Pisces is the moon sign, and then whatever, you know what I'm trying to say there. And my rising or ascendant sign is Scorpio.
Ooh, that sucks.
No, it doesn't. It explains
Scorpio's
a lot about me.
Worst astrology sign ever.
As a
if there's
sun
any
sign,
Scorpios
yes.
that listen to the show,
Isn't your girlfriend a Scorpio?
No.
Scorpio sun signs are...
Die miserable.
They're death. Something else, I'll tell you that. But Scorpio's I feel like...
the worst.
Oh, your mom is a Scorpio.
No.
Scorpio is my shadow side, so well, it's actually kind of cool. It's like Slytherin.
Actually, Ron, I think you're a Scorpio.
No, not even close.
What are you, a Sagittarius?
Yeah, that's why like he like no one likes him.
I am a Sagittarius if you go by the 12-month year, but... if they didn't mess up the calendar and we had 13 months of 28 days,
get out of here with that.
Then I would be the zodiac that's
zodiac killer
that's missing.
The yeah, zodiac killer that's yeah. missing is wrong. The whole new astrology thing is dumb. Get that shit out of here. Whatever that is, where they're like scientists. First of all, what the fuck, scientists discover new zodiological like charts or whatever. That's dumb. We're going by the old ones, people. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I think an argument can be made.
No, Ron.
That we have these months. This one's got 28 days. Now, February, we're 29 days. This is leap year. We have days with, months with 30 days, months with 31 days. Why don't you just make it all uniform and every 28 days is a new month?
Sounds good to me.
And that's how the old calendars were until the Romans fucked it up.
Does that have to do with the sun setting? Because the sun sets later and later, right?
Well, that's because of the seasons.
Yeah, I know, but would that mess up the calendar at all?
It would probably even it out because every freaking day is different.
Yeah, it would even it out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, you know, that whole thing with that new zodiological shit is bullshit. I think
it's pretty interesting, actually. But Kristen, just in your defense... Mm-hmm. I've been feeling down all week, too. And I don't know. It's not feeling down. It's just feeling like I can't get out of my own way.
Well, what's your moon sign? Anyone ever?
I don't know what any of that shit is.
You never dated a freaking witch?
What time were you born?
Dated a nymphomaniac, but not a witch.
What time were you born?
I did have a witch, self-proclaimed witch, whether or not she really was or not.
Is that your wife?
Said that she put a love spell on me.
Oh, ooh. Boy.
And I said, well, at least that pot worked.
I can see it in your eyes.
For a couple nights.
Is that the nympho or something else?
No, it's a different one.
No, oh, shit, Buckley, stop with the fucking nympho. I've only been with two nymphos my whole life.
Well, you tell me two to stop with now. The nympho?
So you did collect them.
I didn't bring the nympho up. It was her.
I had
demon
one,
woman.
I had one girlfriend.
Yep.
Back when I was young. Mm-hmm. Probably mid-20s, who was clearly a nymphomaniac. And my first wife was a nymphomaniac.
So two,
at least two.
Did you ever see that movie, Nymphomaniac?
No, but I want to watch that. They have that part one and part two, right?
I don't know. I only saw...
Is it porn?
No, it's a regular movie. It stars...
It's basically
is it horror porn?
It's essentially porn. Like, I saw some clips, and it was just like porn. So I was like, oh, so this is just porn. But I think Shia LaBeouf in it?
I don't know, but it's Charlotte Gainsborough. Charlotte Gainsborough, who's a very nice looking lady. She stars in that. And I want to say those movies were done by the same people that did. What was the movie with Kristen Dunst in it? And the Earth collided with another planet.
Spider-Man.
Melancholia.
I don't know.
Yeah. What that is. Anyways, but I've always wanted to watch those movies. My wife won't watch those movies with me, though.
Yeah, that's what
probably because you get too aroused, Ron.
It's not new. We've been together for almost 20 years now, but
it's not the nympho.
My current, definitely not. My current wife.
Did you ever see 50 Shades of Grey?
Who hasn't?
Nine. It was terrible. It was so bad. It was stupid.
I wasn't the least bit interested.
But you know, if you're looking for a laugh, you know, who's the guy who played Iago, the parrot from Aladdin? He's got like a really annoying voice. He's like, and he talks like that. He's like
what, Gilbert Godfrey?
Yeah, is it Gilbert Godfrey?
He's dead.
Right. So, but he did this thing where he did this funny thing where he like recorded himself reading 50 Shades of Grey in that terrible voice. So he's just like, and I pleasured her, blah, 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 and just like going on and stuff like that. It's pretty fucking hilarious. You should go check it out,
Kristen. He was a funny guy anyway.
Yeah, he's funny.
A lot, a few more celebrities kicked off, huh?
Who?
Well, who was it? Richard Lewis died today. Richard Lewis, the comedian, was on Curb Your Enthusiasm quite a few times.
That is all that I know him from.
Oh, no, he was in lots of stuff. Very, very funny guy. Yeah, so it doesn't say reason of death, but we can only guess. So, you know, and then there was
jabbed
a couple.
Up.
There was a more than likely.
Double jab, triple jab.
Probably whatever six is.
I mean, you're always supposed to double up a jab.
But I think a lot of people are probably feeling down because, again, we talked about this before, how the nothing in the news is positive, right? I mean, the only positive thing that was in the news recently was that Trump trounced Nikki Haley again in her own home state and then most recently in Michigan. But she is not going to give up. I still believe we have to make a choice. Well, I think the people have clearly made their fucking choice.
I think that, I mean, for me, that's bad news because I was like, I really want Nikki Haley to win.
No, you didn't.
I wanted her to get in there and start, you know, stopping inflation, all the human trafficking, lower prices. No?
She's just another deep stater. That's all she is.
Aren't they all, though, but, Ron?
Yeah, they are. And it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on. They're all fucking deep staters.
What are we really doing here?
But what I found interesting was that the Koch Brothers Foundation, that through another political PAC, told her, we're done. We're not spending another dime on this deal. So their girl didn't work out. And I don't really want to get into politics, but I thought that was pretty interesting is she's so fucking delusional that she still thinks she's going to beat Trump. We got Super Tuesday coming up next week, so let's see what happens there.
You know, I think, I mean, I've said it before, I've said it again 1,000,000,000,000 times. Politics, it's just like, if you're really, really investing your energy, it's kind of just like really caring about who wins the fucking Super Bowl. It's just kind of
it's a waste.
Some scripted, elitist, forced culture that's given to you for distractions. Make illusion of choice. More than anything. So when you go to cast your ballot, first of all, you spend all this time getting invested in the politics and this and the drama and that and blah, blah, blah. And then when you go, you're like, oh, I hate this person or I really like this person and I'm going to cast my vote. Illusion of choice makes you feel like you're doing something. You're actually not doing shit.
Well, you know, what does everybody say? Oh, it was the lesser of two evils.
Right, which is not like, well, that's the other thing with this whole politics thing. It's like, and I've said this before in later episodes, or earlier episodes, but it's like this whole, like, well, it was the lesser of two evils. It's like, yeah, but that's like, that's not good. That's not like a good thing. The fact that that's like predominantly most of our elections that have been contemporary elections, it's like, that's not a good thing. We need to be looking for like leaders that are, you know, actually people that model moralistic views, perspectives, and traits of an actual leader. Not just, well, it was the worst piece of shit. There was two pieces of shit, and one was more like diarrhea, so I picked the one that was less diarrhea-y. Like, we need to start, our country, if we're truly the, like, one of the most powerful countries, leading countries in the world, or the, some would say, most powerful country in the world, then like we need leaders or like people that are running to be the leader that reflect those traits, in my opinion. Like that, and I don't think it, like, we should just be okay with, well, we picked the lesser of two evils. But then again, that goes back to my whole philosophy of the whole election process in general, is that it's a heaping pile of shit. It's selection, it's a scam, and that the real thing, the real move to do is just to try and pull out of that system altogether.
You know, now that you say that, do you really think, and then we'll get into why, do you really think we need government in the capacity that we have it now? Because I don't think we do. I really don't. And I'm not saying let's go to a warlord-based freaking political system.
Tribes and war chiefs, Ron.
But I'm saying,
that's what we need.
Calm down.
If you look, at how the United States is set up, each state is supposed to be able to basically be its own country.
Right.
So I don't know if we need one figurehead that can just sit back and sign executive orders at their whim or by direction of whoever's actually running the show, right? You got all these congressmen, all these senators that don't do shit, They don't do anything their constituents want them to do. They do what they want to do, or they do what they're being told to do. So now we're back to the taxation without representation.
Right.
And I got to tell you, and you guys must have seen this. You guys got to have seen this. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, and I haven't in well over a month. So out of boredom the other night, I started cruising through TikTok. There is a lot of talk, of course, again, like we said before, I don't think you could get everybody to get on board with this. Big push for people saying, right now we have taxation without representation. Why are we paying taxes? We should take a tax holiday this year.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't put all that money in there, look at what these assholes are doing. They're spending literally billions and billions and billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars.
Spending and sending.
Sending. Giving right. it away.
Right. Spending and sending.
And then so the argument comes back, well, you know, that money we sent to Ukraine, that has a direct effect on our economy. So what's that say? They're spending that money, but it's actually going to be kicked back to the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, sure.
The Lockheed Martins, the Boeings, the you name it, you know, whatever. Raytheon, et cetera, et cetera. BAE Systems.
Right, and like, look at the, like, what was the old Boston Tea Party narrative or story, right?
Yeah,
it's
we
like
talked about that last week.
Right,
yeah.
And it's like, we'll flip a shit and do this, and in history, or the history of a country, when there's a tax on tea or whatever, and but now it's like, now look at the state of things. It's like now every single person that has a job is getting taxed up the ass. There's like state taxes, federal taxes, property taxes, there's taxes for pretty much anything now. And like, it's, you know, this kind of brings me to the El Salvadorian president, that clip that's going around, Ron. You saw
when he was at CPAC.
Right, when he's at CPAC, and he's kind of talking about, he's specifically talking about America and like how there's this whole illusion of taxes, you know, basically that Americans are paying taxes to fund the government. But there's this whole, you know, well, what is money backed by? It's backed by treasury bonds, and treasury bonds are basically just printed to back other treasury bonds. And so it's essentially like they're just printing money anyway, but they're still taxing you. And they're printing money without any, like, real, I mean, who's keeping track of that? Like, who's really keeping track of that? And so it's like they're essentially, they're printing as much money as they need or want or willing to do and backed by these treasury bonds. And then they're saying that, well, the funding of the government is actually, that's why you're paying taxes. But in reality, it's like, no, because you're just printing money. So why are people paying taxes? That's the big question.
Is that what people are saying? Well, if you could just print however many trillions of dollars you want, what the fuck do you need my money for?
Yeah, why? Well, yeah. I can tell you why. Well, why do you think? I know why.
Well, because they just want that more. Because
they don't. Well, they want more, but they don't want anyone to get ahead.
Have you looked
at your paychecks? Like, if you, like, say you don't, I mean, if you don't make a lot of money, right, you still get taxed a decent amount, but if you, like, look at that, you're like, oh, shit, this is what I'm paying each week in taxes. And then, like, the more money you make, typically, the more you get taxed. And then it's just like when you look at what your paycheck actually would have been versus what it is after you get taxed, you're kind of like, well, what the fuck? And, I mean, it's just one of these scams.
You could have done a lot more. You could have bought more groceries.
Right, or just saved money, too.
You could have had more money to pay your payments. Yeah, sure.
But it's like the whole reason they do it is because they don't want people to get ahead. And that's why it's like the same thing with inflation. It's like, you know, they just don't want people to be able to make more money and then be able to do better, especially middle class and downward. It's like, well, once you start making more money, then they got to up the oil, the price of gas or inflation on groceries or property tax or whatever it may be. But, like, it's the same thing with taxes. They do not want you to get ahead. They don't need you to pay taxes because they can just print money whenever the fuck they want.
Yeah, but
so the only reason they do it
is for control.
To keep you suppressed, to keep you controlled, to keep you feeling like, especially if you don't make a lot of money, like you can never get the fuck ahead.
You know what gets me is, like, we talked about this before last week. What really gives the government a right to withhold taxes out of your paycheck every pay period, whether it's a week or every 2 weeks or whatever. That's like them saying, you know what? I'm going to give myself an interest-free loan. Right. And at the end of the year, if you do all your paperwork and you're a good little boy or a good little girl, we'll give some of that back to you. What the fuck gives them the right to do that, right? And the other thing about this is, have you guys seen all the videos on TikTok where people are like, okay, I was supposed to get my return, and they're telling me, they sent me a letter saying that they're keeping it for retroactive taxes that I owed in 2020. And they're like, well, in 2020, everything was accepted, and I got my return. And it's like, now it almost seems like what we talked about before, all that quote-unquote free money that they were giving you in the form of a stimulus.
They took back.
Which
starting to take back.
Which wasn't a lot of money, right? What was the max? Like $3,000, $4,000, maybe $5,000?
Well, I think people that were like...
Yeah, Buckley.
People that were furloughed...
They're taking it back.
Right, but people that were furloughed did all right. Because there was the whole thing that people that were like... They're like, oh, like I'm making more now than I was working a full-time job from the weekly paychecks of COVID. And then there was people that got stimulus checks. Like I got like a one-time check of, I don't even remember what it was. It was like,
like $1,200 or $1,400 or something.
Something like that. But like I didn't even get a choice. It wasn't like I could be like, no, I don't want this money. It was just like, you're getting this money. So, I mean, you said it was in 2020 that was happening?
That's what they're saying, 2020, yeah.
Right, so I guarantee you there's a shit ton of people that, like, didn't really know what to do with that on their taxes, and then that's being retroactive, I guess.
Well, it would still be considered income, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Well, I feel like it's similar to, like, if you're on unemployment.
Well, what about people that are on welfare? Is that considered the welfare check? Is that considered income?
No, that's drug money.
I'm being serious. People that are on welfare.
That's from my alcohol, Ron.
When they get their
cigarettes.
When they get their money every 2 weeks or every month or however that works.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Is that considered income?
Unemployment is considered income.
Okay.
So if you go on unemployment, which I've gone on unemployment before, like you're supposed to put that into your taxes.
See the whole thing about it. I really wish that even if 50 million people did it or 100 million, we're in a country of 350 million people, and I said this last week, if you could only get 50 million or 100 million people to say, you know what, I'm not paying my taxes.
What are they going to do?
Come after me.
They don't have that many IRS agents.
Do you think maybe this is why they were saying they're going to hire 87,000 more IRS agents? Because they had a feeling... We're in the middle of a financial tax revolution right now, I feel.
We're in the middle of, like, a weird, like, revolution where, you know, people are going to be taking the power back in a lot of different categories and avenues of, like, the current state. And one of those things is taxes.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, even, like, say they hire 87,000 whatever IRS agents, right? Okay, 87,000 is a lot, right? So if you have an individualized family, right, and you just have, like, one family where there's one person in the family not paying taxes, and it's like, okay, we need to go do something about this. So we send out 5 agents to his house and some police, you know, to set a boundary, whatever, and then we arrest him. Because he's one fucking guy. What's he going to do? If you have a whole fucking town not paying taxes.
Or 100 million people.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it to be one town because they'll just drop a bomb. So no, we need to be spread.
First of all, they're not going to drop a bomb. If the government starts...
Well, they could drop Ebola.
If the government drops a bomb, if that ever came out that a government dropped a bomb on like U.S. territory, that would be... I feel like... That would be the spark of the Minutemen coming back.
But oh, that would be the end.
They didn't do it in New York?
Right. Oh. Well, yeah, that's true. Maybe I should. I don't know. That was in the guise of terrorism, whatever. 9/11, fuck it. But what I'm saying is, like, say there's, like, a whole state that decides they're not going to pay federal taxes, right? Well, what the fuck are they going to do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, when you said state, I had this other thought process. Like, say the state of New Hampshire, where we have no state income tax, right? Mm-hmm. And that's only because it's not tax-free. Our property tax is, like, the fourth highest in the country, last I checked, which is another fucking ridiculous thing. It's 71% of our tax dollars in this town go to the school.
Yeah.
So that means only 29% is used to run the town and pay the county and pay the state, right? But I'm saying, if the people that are voted in aren't doing their job, if the person in the White House isn't doing their job, what the fuck do we need them for? Like, what do you do if you have an employee that all they do is show up to work, do minimal, like minimal, and expect to get paid as much as the guy that's producing? Well, what do you think is going to happen to him? You're going to say, hey, look, it's not working out. You're going to have to go.
Not see you necessarily.
Later. Well, yeah, you would fucking fire that
no,
guy.
And no,
fucking
no, get, no, no.
Oh, that, so you would keep him on the books and keep paying him for doing nothing? Would
because they make money off that person being there. So they can charge whoever the
how are they making money off a person being there if that person's not doing anything?
Because they're still the work's still getting done. And they
no,
can,
no, no, that's not what I'm saying. I said a person that comes in and does minimal.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like not doing anything. Yeah. So they're at the point where you're not able to bill out the amount of hours that it costs just to fucking break even to have them here. They got to go.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I mean, I guess it's a scenario-based situation, but like especially in manual labor jobs, like, you know, if you're working for, like when I was working landscaping, they could charge X amount of money per head. And, you know, there would be two guys doing the work, a majority of the work, but there would be they'd be billing for four guys. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, they're
right. In the automotive business, it works a lot different. So what happens is you have a vehicle come in, you put a tech on it. That tech gets paid for that job.
Right. So,
if that tech is taking 8 hours to do a fucking job, that should be four.
Right. Then, yeah, that's different.
That's the scenario I'm talking about. In landscaping, yes. If you've got four people on the job site and say two of them are working and two are fucking off, well, the two that are fucking off are making the same amount of money. And the two that are working are doing their work plus their work. The customer's happy because it's getting done, but the boss shouldn't be happy. And the two people that are doing all the work shouldn't fucking be happy either. They should go to their boss and say, look, these two guys, they're fucking worthless. They're getting paid to do a job. I'm doing my job plus their job. So why am I not getting paid a premium? Get rid of those guys and give me a fucking raise.
Not how it fucking works.
I know, but that's how it should work.
It should, but it's not. And I'm saying, like, if there's some schlum, right, that's working in politics, and it's like, oh, well, we got to pay this guy's salary or whatever, and then, like, if we're getting any money because he's even here at all, then we're going to keep him around, even if he's just doing minimal work.
Okay, so my point is if we have government, people in government that aren't doing their job, what the fuck do we need them for?
Get them out.
So if we don't need them, why are we paying them? Obviously, they can't live on what we're paying them because they're insider trading. How can a regular Joe that has debt or maybe, you know, got a couple hundred grand in the bank, becomes a senator, and in 4 years or 5 years, they're worth fucking multi-million dollars?
Insider trade.
Yeah, and it's legal for them. So that's why I say we should go back to, well, not back to, but we should have kind of a, and I don't know how we would ever be able to do this. So let's all brainstorm and let us know what you think on the Telegram chat. Well, how could we set this up to where we didn't have a centralized government? Look at, they're trying to decentralize everything else. They're trying to decentralize banking. That's what crypto is. They're trying to decentralize all kinds of things. Well, why can't we decentralize our government? And that's kind of like what the state national people are kind of up
to. The free staters and...
No, not free staters.
Well,
the state nationals like Brandon Joe Williams.
Yeah, sorry. But there's a whole free stater movement that's big in New Hampshire. And, you know, I was just talking to some guy not that long ago who there's some town in New Hampshire, and he was saying that they, like, basically voted out, like, law enforcement. Like, because the whole town was like, we don't want law enforcement in our town. And I don't know I don't know how authentic that is, but he was talking about it like it was a real thing, and I was like, I don't know. That's crazy.
Well, that could be, because there's some towns in the state of New Hampshire that do not have a police department.
Right.
So they have to rely on either state police showing up.
Or next town over, if they're willing.
Next town over, or a sheriff's department. Because they just gave the sheriff's department, sheriffs, more leeway. They can do more.
Right.
Used to be, like, the sheriffs in New Hampshire are not like sheriffs in other states.
Yeah.
Like, the sheriffs in New Hampshire basically are there to transport prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of their job, yeah. But they're giving them more police powers. Like a sheriff can stop you for speeding or whatever, okay? So that's changed. But let's talk about taxes real quick. When you're sleeping...
tax. Sleeping tax.
And the power is on at your house.
Ooh.
Look at a line item on your power bill. There's a line item for taxes.
There's a word for that, though. It's like drip or some shit.
I think drip is something else.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah. So you got that. If you're home watching television, not only are you paying taxes on the electricity to power up your TV.
Netflix subscription.
You're paying taxes on your internet service. Mm. And you're like, well, fuck that. I won't use that. I'll just use my cell phone.
Paying for your cell phone, bitch.
Look on your cell phone bill. There's a tax line item on your cell phone bill. And you'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to watch any of these at all. I'm just going to go get something to eat. Let's go out to eat.
Let's get Uber Eats.
So then when you go out to eat, there's a 9% rooms and meals tax. Right? Even when you go to a restaurant, like in the state of New Hampshire... There's no tax on groceries when you buy them off the shelf.
Sales tax, right?
Except, no, we don't have a sales tax, but right. Except if you buy a ready-made grinder, or which is a sub sandwich or whatever you call them, hoagies. We call them subs or grinders here.
Oh, I thought you were talking about meat.
Or you buy a rotisserie chicken like my wife did yesterday. She bought two rotisserie chickens.
They're not bad, people.
They're pretty good.
Pretty good.
Crispy. And... any prepared food that you buy, if you go in, you got that big kiosk where, oh, I can make a salad, I can make a sandwich.
They're,
oh, here's some chicken
wings. Making my own salad.
There's a fucking tax on prepared food.
I'm preparing the food.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why is there a tax on prepared food? You're already fucking taxing the dude that made it. So how can you tax for prepared food? It's like a fucking. It's like a tax out of nowhere. Let's pull a tax out of our ass, because that's what you're getting. Oh, and while you're talking about your ass and you're taking a dump and you flush the toilet.
Toilet paper tax.
And you're on city water. Guess what? You're paying for that too.
Tax, bitch.
So you're like, you know what? I can't handle this. I need a cigarette. So you go out on your deck and you light up a cigarette. That also has a state tobacco tax. And you're like, fuck this. You stomp out the cigarette. You say, I'm going to drink a beer.
Your tax, bitch.
And then you go to the refrigerator and your kid drank all your beer.
Your kid? What?
So then you're like, well, fuck him.
I guess I'll just die.
I got a bunch of tequila. Let's mix a drink. Oh, guess what? You paid a tax to the state of New Hampshire for your liquor. And you're like, I can't take it anymore. I'm going for a drive.
No, I'll kill myself.
I'm going for a drive. You're driving down the road. On the road that property tax is supposed to be helping pay for. And you're like, oh, shit, I can't even go for a drive. I'm almost out of gas. You go to the gas station.
Tax, bitch.
And you put gas in it and you pay like 30 cents or 40 cents a gallon for just tax. They talk about the price of gas. You know, when everything was really high, they were all saying, well, you know what we can do? We can get rid of the gas tax. We can do like a 90-day gas tax holiday, right? And we won't charge you the gas tax, which will bring the price of gas down like 40, 50 cents a gallon, right? Maybe. Oh, no. What did the politicians say?
Tax it.
We got to pay our fair share.
We can't do that. We can't knock down that. They got to keep paying.
Pay our fair share.
Taxes.
Yeah.
And then when you're so sick of paying fucking taxes, you kill yourself. You take a gun, put it in your mouth, you shoot yourself, you take a bunch of pills, slit your wrists, whatever you want to do. Drive your car off a bridge. I don't give a shit.
You know what you do?
And then?
Death tax.
death tax. Mm-hmm. And then the terminology or the saying death and taxes has never been more true. Because you basically just pay taxes until you die.
That's why you kill yourself in a vehicle that you own. And then the insurance pays it out. And that covers your funeral.
Kristen, why are you doing chicken wings right now?
Why do you look like you've been looking into this?
She's got chicken
Did
wings.
You not see my last Lexus?
Kristen.
I mean, shit.
I think you should do another ayahuasca trip to sort out your brain.
See, that's the thing, is I don't think my psyche can handle anything else.
And then when you do it, though, you'll come up with a good intro.
But do you see now, guys, why people are fucking down all the time?
Or dropping like flies?
Oh, yeah, let's not even get into that. But, you know, yeah, how many died suddenlies have we seen? And you know what? And it's getting kind of tiresome to even talk about
it. No, I was talking about suicide. Dropping like flies, suicide, because you just can't fucking take it anymore. Yeah. Like, what am I doing? I'm literally slaving my fucking life away all day, every single day, to live in a fucking square that I can barely afford, and my fridge is goddamn empty. Like, what the fuck? I didn't even get to drink water, and I can't even take a Friday off at the end of next month to go do ayahuasca for the... I can't take a one day off.
Why? Why can't you take a day off? That's when you say, go fuck yourself. That's what I would do, but hey, look at my job.
I'm there. I'm literally... I'd rather... I do.
This is what I do think.
Dark night of the soul, people. I'm telling you, I am ready to fucking... bitch. I'm not going to, though. I won't be like
you
guys.
You can bitch.
No, nobody wants to hear it.
No, we all want it. I want to hear it. I think Ron wants to hear it. As long as you don't bring up periods or something like that. But no, what I was going to say is that the...
I would never.
people forget, or they're realizing that the government is supposed to work for the people, right? They're supposed to be like a body that works in the people's best interests, in whether it's the Jews, the Khazarians, the elites, the reptilians, whoever you fucking want to call them. You know, if it's because they infiltrate the system, but they infiltrated the system and they slowly tiptoed to making the power of the people be obsolete. Maybe it always was, but regardless, it is more now than it seems to have been in historical narrative. So I think, like with Ron's tax rant, which was, I really enjoyed thoroughly. I think, you know, people need to like rediscover as community, as an individual, like what life needs to look like for you, your family, and your community and your country. Because over the years, people have evolved to be in finite communities, whether it's me and my small family, Ron and his small family.
Or me or all Kristen alone with my cat.
Kristen all alone with her cat. Like, you know,
Kristen,
where the fuck is my husband at?
Humanity has...
We would take you in, Kristen. You'll be fine.
Right. Humanity has evolved into smaller and smaller squads, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but like... You know, there's strength in numbers, obviously. So it's like when we start to look at this stuff and realizing how corrupt everything is and how taken advantage we are and how we've slipped into like this highly controlled, taxed, you know, slaving away country that basically, you know, death taxes and paying bills essentially and working, you know. We need to start to look at how we can take that back. So, you know, and I think that's going to be a lot of like regaining community, small communities, and then working your way out from there to like a more bigger scale. Because we, you know, if you have kids like I do, and Kristen has a cat, so, you know, you think about the future, right? And you don't want the future to keep going the way that it's going for your kids.
It can't go that way.
So, like, we need to start doing the mental, I guess, mental exercises of just maybe like kind of thinking of different ways to become more independent, to stop relying on systems so much, to stop working your bullshit job and figure out a way to like, you know, something that's more independent, where it's like if you need to take a day off to do ayahuasca and trip your sack off, then you can do that. And it's not like you're at risk of losing your job type of thing. Or just like, well, how are we as a town going to, whether it's the fucking, there's crazy parking meters or parking tickets or taxes, like These are the types of things that got to be small.
Because every move you make, Buckley, somebody's got their hand in your pocket.
Right. And you, so we have to kind of do what they did, right? They do the tiptoe to tyranny, tiptoe to systematic control, taxes, whatever it is. So we have to start to do as communities, localize and then grow from there, and independently too, and start to tiptoe to different alternative methods of breaking down the systems, the hand that's in every pocket that is controlling you, and tiptoe our way out of it. And I think if we can figure out starting points to do that, then we'll start to see a change and retake the financial systems as well as like our independence and communities, and just have like an overall better country. It's like the whole parking meter thing that happened in a town. It's like this one town, was it in New Hampshire?
No, Connecticut.
It was Connecticut. So it was Connecticut. But they just, the town collectively just was like, we're not paying for fucking parking meters. And guess what happened?
Yeah, they took them out.
They took them out. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
You don't fuck, if everyone doesn't pay, they're like, no, fuck this shit.
But
damn,
it's a damn good idea.
You know, I had this weird thought process because, you know, I think about this shit all the time, right? Have either of you guys watched The Walking Dead?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I promise there's a reason why I asked you that.
First season was the best, and then it just kind of drastically went downhill, in my opinion.
Today I was scrolling through something, and I came across this post that said how to watch The Walking Dead and their spinoffs in proper order. And I said, wow, that's kind of interesting, because personally, I was super into The Walking Dead. I used to watch The Walking Dead, and then I would watch the after show where they would have a panel on with some of the people involved in making it and the people that involved with the comic book, the graphic novel.
Yep.
And they would discuss things, and they would take calls in and emails and texts from viewers or whatever. It was super interesting. Just all of a sudden in season three, I just lost all interest. And I don't know why, but I just did. However, I'm starting to gain interest again, because, and then now I saw this post, so I looked into it a little bit, and you have all these spinoffs, and actually, I'll put something, if people are interested to see this, how to watch it chronologically with all the spinoffs. First, you got to watch the first four episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, then the first four or five episodes of The Walking Dead, and so on and so forth with all the different shows, right?
Oh, so you have to alternate episodes in seasons.
You like have
Marvel movies.
You have to alternate which spinoff you're watching and how many episodes in there.
So it's not just like watch season one of this, then season one of like Fear of the Walking Dead. It's like literally like episode 2, 3, and then watch like 2, 3 of this. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, how my brain works is like a fucking freight train. It just bombards, and then it's like, okay, well, now we're going to go here, now we're going to go there, we're going to segue here, segue there, right? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's an example of how these people, and I get it, it's just a show, but how these people managed to survive in a obviously brutal situation without a centralized government. You know, and even if it came down to be where each state was ran autonomously, but then it could get down to how your county is run autonomously or how your town is run autonomously, right?
It gets very tribal.
Well, it would, right? And it would break down to neighborhoods. Like, I know me and other people in my neighborhood, we've actually gotten together and say, look, let's not be doomsdayers, but let's just say
something goes awry.
Let's just say something goes crazy. What is our plan? And the first thing we came up with is communication. But again, life gets in the way. This person's doing that. This person's doing this. This person's doing that. I don't like how 2024 is looking, and I definitely don't like how 2025 is looking, based on the Daigle report. Whether or not you think it's legit or not doesn't matter. However, when you have a podcast like ours and you pay attention to what the World Economic Forum is saying, when you pay attention to what Bill Gates is saying or what he's planning to do, when you see how the government is run based on however you feel the 2020 election went and how they dealt with the January 6th people, with the quote-unquote insurrection, you got to start thinking something is going to happen. It's going to get worse before it gets better, because I don't see there being a light switch flipped and everything's going to go back to how it was, you know, 10 years ago, say, for instance, or whatever. You know, Buckley, I think a lot about, like, nostalgic times.
And you liked it when Obama was president?
I liked it when I was a kid, down to the original garage. And, you know, obviously I was at the age where I wasn't having to be concerned about paying bills. I know that my dad and my mom were. And my father said, listen, don't worry. The bills will be paid, and they were always paid. He would tell my mom, don't question anything. Don't ask me what I'm doing. Don't ask me where the money came from.
Shady stuff, baby.
No, this is just how he was. He didn't want people asking questions. If you know that you can pay your bills, like my dad would say, here's the money. How much are the bills? Here you go. And he got it done, right?
Yeah.
So who is to question anything in that situation? Right, getting back to the whole taxes thing, right? So me and my friends, I said, listen, we've got to get back together and we've got to talk about...
Oh, there we go. Yes. Communication.
We got to talk about communications.
What are we going to do if everything goes to shit?
So the one thing we did is we all bought the same type of radio.
Hams.
They're ham radios. Yep.
Some hammies.
And we are going to learn how to use them. And I told them all, listen, we got to stop dinking the dog on this. We've got to fucking figure this out. If nothing else, not figure it out to where we need a license, because if the shit hits the fan, there's not going to be any regulatory, you know, regulatory thing that I'm going to be concerned about. I just want us to be able to communicate back and forth. And we got to have a setup to where we can channel surf. So you're not staying on the same channel for the whole conversation. You follow what I'm saying? That's how they used to do it back in the olden days. Yeah, they would go to random channels. So that's the one thing you got to do. The second thing is, what are we going to do for security?
Guns.
Baby. Now, well, I'm not allowed to have guns.
You're a felon?
Yeah.
For what?
I have been a convicted felon for over 30 years.
Now tell it why.
I'm not allowed to have guns. However, in a shit hits the fan scenario, again, I am not going to be concerned with what law enforcement thinks about me having
guns. You just have
having
to,
whatever I need to protect my family.
You just got to go out blasting. Yeah. Like that Danny DeVito meme where you just start blasting. Yeah. That's what you got to do. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Okay, so these are the things. But here's the other thing, too. Now you're going to be concerned about
food,
rogue people coming in to try to take what's yours.
What kind of scenario are you talking about?
I'm talking about a complete fucking breakdown.
Talking about like a crash of the system or zombies? Because you start off with Walking Dead.
I was using Walking Dead as an example of how these people pulled resources and were able to survive by whatever means it took to survive.
Okay, we're going to be Kaya in the Skaya.
You're talking blanket statement of a disaster.
So the other thing is, you know, you have to have food, right? So if, and this is why they always say, if you're kind of a prepper or even a half-ass prepper, dude, don't tell anybody about it.
Right.
Right? Don't tell anybody. You know, and you can go online and look at resources and lists of what people think or think that you should have in stock. You should have this stuff in case something happens, including food for your animals.
Start saving your damn seeds, people.
But, you know,
even if they are useless seeds,
I found a site that was a list of all heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Yep.
Nice. And that's the kind you need.
I've got a pack of them.
Yeah.
Got
okay.
some microgreens.
So that's one thing. But depending on whatever causes the shit hits the fan scenario, you might not be able to grow food outside.
Well, that's the thing, that's is you got to be able to know how to grow food underground without light. Seriously.
What?
You're not going to survive above that's ground. True. How the fuck you think the reptilians have been around for so many thousands of years? They're surviving underground.
I don't think you're going to grow much food.
Well, that's the thing is you need to know how to. You need to figure out a way if that's how you're going to survive. There's got to be a way. You can grow potatoes in the dark.
Well, I think the only way really that like you're going to have a drastic decrease in like soil to grow food is like some real fucked up natural disaster.
It's not about
nuclear.
It's not about the decrease in soil. I'm not worried about that.
To grow food?
I'm just thinking you're not going to be able to survive above ground with all the shit that's going to be in the air from whatever kind of nuclear fucking attacks we have, virus is going on up there, like all the CWD on the vegetation and in the animals, like nothing above ground that's been exposed to the mankind is going to be safe.
Okay, so let's look at what they're spraying.
Yeah, but if it's zombies.
Look at... Yeah,
underground, we're not, people! Get underground!
So we already know that chemtrails affect people's gardens, right? And chemtrails change the weather. Like, look at last summer. Everybody's crops took a crap last summer because it rained every single, like, every third or fourth day, right?
Yeah, it was winter.
Right. So there's a lot of things you really have to take into consideration. It's just like my wife when she gives me shit when she sees the cans of Spam. I'm like, if you haven't eaten meat for a month, that would taste like filet mignon to you. And with all seriousness, right? But
or a bucket of salt.
But
I
anyway, so these are just kind of some of the things, right? Because if you see just what the psychological effect, and this is another thing people need to do, is keep your fucking shit wrapped tight mentally.
That's out the window for
wrap
a lot
it with
of people.
A Faraday blanket, people.
Did you see...
People are going to lose their shit.
The meltdown
that
people were having just because their cell phone wouldn't work.
Can't use the fucking internet.
They were. Christ. I saw videos. They were people going to the AT&T stores.
Like, let me talk to your CEO.
Fucking flipping out at the people. And the guy's like,
I can't watch TikTok.
Seriously.
What do you want me to do? It's a nationwide outage.
Right.
Dude, yeah.
There is literally nothing I can do. I can't even call my boss.
Right.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, it just shows you how fragile society really is. And I think COVID showed that a lot, too. Like, how really fragile the fabric of society is.
The toilet
and how
paper.
Easily...
Not like this, though.
Yeah, but it's like, it shows how easily things can just change. Or, like, you have to start thinking about certain things. Like, well, if they shut down grocery stores or I'm not allowed in a grocery store, where am I going to get my food?
There's addiction involved in, like, losing a cell phone because... For one, you're getting ADHD by using it, most likely, with all the scrolling. It's just bound to happen. And then you've seen the iPhone videos, I'm sure, where if you're looking at it with an infrared camera of any kind, you can see the iPhone taking a picture every fucking 2 seconds of your face. What do you think that's doing to your eyes? I'm sure that's drawing you back in. Like,
well, you're right with the addiction because it's every time you like you scroll and look at videos or you get likes on Instagram or Facebook, you're getting a dopamine hit in your brain, which is like, you know, that's an addiction trait, a quality. So it's like when these people lose service, it just shows you how reliant they are, first of all, on this thing that was given to us, technology from the elites. But it also shows you how like thin the fabric of society is and like, what will happen if just one thing goes wrong, let alone a bunch of things going wrong.
Okay, so let me give you, you brought up COVID. Yes, in the beginning, I don't care who you are, everybody was freaked out about COVID.
I wasn't.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay, not at all. You didn't have any, like, oh man, maybe we ought to get some extra stuff in the house.
Nope.
Okay.
I bought some extra rice because the fucking shelves were empty. Yeah, I bought extra stuff too.
I wasn't fucking taking a chance.
I didn't buy extra anything.
If you didn't buy toilet paper, you were fucked. So I know what you were doing.
I found toilet paper just fine.
No, you didn't. No, you did
not.
There was never a
time where I didn't have toilet paper, food, water.
If you didn't stock up on TP, there's no way you had it.
Okay, so that's where I was going with this.
I had it.
People were a little freaked out about COVID, but they adapted, right? Because the government knew, well, we can't shut all this down. We're going to have a real fucking problem on our hands if we do that, right? So, you know, they did the whole arrows, go this way in the grocery store and go that way. You can't go to, what was it, Market Basket, Buckley, that we couldn't go till a certain time of day so that all the old people could go in the morning. Yeah, so... Right. So something like that. So we were still able to get things that we needed. Not always. I remember going to Hannaford's, which is fucking huge. Could not get a pound of hamburger fucking anywhere.
Couldn't buy more than one hand soap. Couldn't buy more than one hand sanitizer. What?
Okay, but you still could get stuff. So people adapted to that. People adapted to having to stay home. My wife had a real hard time with that. Not going to lie. Real hard time with that. We adapted to our kids learning through the computer, which I think is fucking useless also. And I mean, we got through it, right? And then again, like we talked about the stimulus checks before, which I got zero, my wife got zero. But right now, hopefully that's not going to be a situation when we do our taxes and they're going to tell us we owe them another 10 grand.
It's bullshit. After we're already paying
them 50 grand during a year, right? So anyways, we adapted to the whole COVID scenario. So let's look at a scenario that could be way worse than COVID, something that could be, like Buckley said, a combination of things, right? Now, we just had this AT&T outage, which hit Verizon and T-Mobile. And what a lot of people don't understand there is that when you have a cell phone tower, say AT&T comes in to your town, puts a cell phone tower in, they have to, by regulatory law, provide space on that tower for three other providers. Now, these three other providers have to pay them for that space, but they have to make it available to them. So say there was a, you know, and what they're saying, and we don't know what caused this. First thing everybody's going to say is a cyber attack, right?
No, it was a double solar flare.
Or they're going to say the solar flares. They're going to use that. That's a perfect one. And then they say, well, it was a software patch problem, which realistically could happen very easily. Because I know the company my wife works for is international. If they have one location where a server goes down, and then that server, the other servers start having to pick up the extra weight, they start to go down, it becomes a domino effect, right?
Was this a global thing?
No, just the United States.
Okay, was it across the United States, or was it like a certain...
Well, it was...
area.
It was in geographical areas, but it was across the country.
So it wasn't like everybody in the country.
No.
Okay.
No. No, but it was in big hubs where a lot of cell phones get used, you know? And we all know that if everybody gets on their cell phone at the same time, it overwhelms the system, and that fucking crashes the system. Mm. I've experienced that here.
It's like Paramount when the Super Bowl was on.
Right?
Fucking crashed. Couldn't even watch it on Paramount.
Yeah. So, but look at how people lost their shit just by not having their cell phone. Now I understand the productivity for the people that actually use their phones for work, like the Ubers of the world, the Uber drivers, the DoorDashers, and all these other people who now are working for companies that people in city areas, urban areas, are becoming accustomed to. Like, people have accepted and adopted these new ways very quickly, very easily, and it's all based on convenience, right?
Well, I don't think it was quickly.
I think it was.
But it was like when the first cell phone come around, right?
Well, again, when cell phones became more affordable, then more people got them.
Right, but
So when you have more people, if you got DoorDash, you got Uber Eats, you got what's the other companies that deliver food now? You got more of these companies. Of course, the more of these companies you have, the more competition there is, going to lower the price. So people are going to start utilizing this, and it's not really like my generation or even Buckley's generation. But it's like the generation before, like the 20-somethings now. Like they've adopted all that shit.
Well, yeah, but it's like the evolution and integration of cell phones into human society. It wasn't like it was just one day we had them. It was like a slow kind of evolution from phones into like flip phones or whatever, then into like smartphones and blah, blah, blah. So that's been over the course of, what, 20 years or more? If you go back into the 80s and you look at like those mobile phones and shit like that. So, it didn't just happen overnight, but I get what you're saying. People are not just work-related, like everybody, all day, they're so reliant on their phones. It's like, do you know what I mean? They use them for everything. It's almost like we're cyborgs. Do you know what I mean? It's just
Well, we are.
It's just the phone isn't like, it's not embedded in our forearm or something.
Not yet.
So, I mean, if you look at that and, like, you know, how much people are going on social medias and looking shit up on their phones and for work and emails and, you know, all these apps and stuff like that, and, like, how much scrolling people do, it's insane. And then it's just like...
Well, it's loss of work productivity, too.
Right, but it's also just, like, you get this dependency, right? So it's like if you misplace your phone, which we've all done, you're kind of like, fuck, where's my phone? Fuck. Like... I can't do anything.
Kind of useless without it. You don't even know how to get home.
Well, it's like I can't do anything until I find it. It's like top priority. Find my phone.
Don't know anyone's number. Don't know how to get home. Don't know how much money I have. Literally nothing.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, obviously the next step is fucking the Neuralink. Pop that shit in your brain.
Right. So to kind of come back on your comment, Buckley, when cell phone technology evolved. And that technology became more available to more people and at a cheaper rate, then more people getting cell phones. Like, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a cell phone, right? No. But the point is they've adopted the use of all these apps, right? Even now, people that go to McDonald's, like they don't go to the drive-thru and they order. They just do their thing and they park. They go on the app, do their thing. And with the app, you get discounts, apparently. They park now. All these places got special sections for people to park in, and they bring your fucking food out to you, right? So, okay, so you got all this infrastructure and apparatus that's available to all these people, right? They've become used to it. That's why when you have a cell phone outage, it's a huge problem. Like, say, what's the big push? They don't want people to own cars, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want individual car ownership. And this is why there's actually, I think it's in all of the European Union right now. They're trying to pass a law to where you cannot repair or re-register or insure or whatever a vehicle over 15 years old.
That's wild. Why? Well, because you can repair it all yourself and it runs on.
No, you wouldn't be able to drive it. You wouldn't be able to use it on the road.
Yeah, but why?
Because they want you to have cars that are what they call more efficient.
Okay.
And you know what it is. They want you to have cars that are controllable through satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's the whole, what is it, the 2025 kill switch law that's going to be taking place in the United States, where every vehicle has a kill switch. Listen, that's not a new concept. Anybody but a General Motors that has OnStar, that's a kill switch. Toyota has their version of OnStar. That's a kill switch. Any motor vehicle that you have that has the ability for you to push a button and fucking talk to somebody, that's a kill switch. But they're going to be putting it in every single car. So they don't want cars on the road over 15 years old. And in places like New Hampshire, if you got a car that's 15 years old, you better fucking make sure that thing's not rotted in half, right?
Yeah.
So I get that. But getting back to the conversation. They don't want you to have car ownership because they want you, hey, listen, what do you need a car for? All you do is hit your Uber app. An Uber or Lyft will come and pick your ass up and take you wherever you want to go.
Yeah, driverless one.
For cheap money. Well, they have those in the city.
Yeah.
They have the autonomous cars in the cities. Yeah, for sure.
Domino's driverless pizza delivery and stuff.
Yeah. And just like how cell phone technology evolved, that technology is evolving, and it's evolving expeditiously.
Very scary.
And it's coming very quick. So what do you think is going to happen to society if we have a total breakdown of that? And it's as simple as losing the grid, the electrical grid. Because if you have a grid outage in one geographical area in the United States, how these grid systems are all integrated, that's like a virus in its own right. Mm-hmm. That virus is going to spread. It's going to take out this grid, that grid, that grid, right down the line. Domino effect. Everybody's fucking power is going to be out. So if you think people were fucking freaking out by just losing their self. Now, I have Xfinity phone. I didn't have any problem with my phone. If you think people were going crazy then, what do you think the scenario would be?
My rise to power.
If all these people, everybody you know, including ourselves, didn't have access to electricity, and we didn't know when it was going to be coming back on. I mean, in New Hampshire, we're used to losing power. We get a really bad storm, well, we're going to lose power. Tomorrow, the weather, which actually will be Thursday, so depending on when this comes out, probably already gone by, so you can fact check me on this. They're saying we're going to have 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts tomorrow. And it's going to be cold.
Don't go hiking in the Whites.
And there's not any manipulation in the weather, is there? It's been fucking high 40s and 50s for almost 5 days now.
It's going to be, it was 60s, or it's going to be a 60s.
And it's going to be below freezing tomorrow with 50-mile-an-hour winds.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Bull fucking shit. There's
a fucking wind advisory coming,
that's
sir.
That's what it, the news has been saying.
There's a wind advisory.
Everywhere. It's supposed to be super cold tomorrow, but then Friday... Friday is supposed to be back up in the 50s. How can you do that for one fucking day?
I don't know. It was 56 degrees on my way here. I passed a guy on a motorcycle wearing a t-shirt. I was like, okay, it's 6 o'clock at night.
And that's warm for New Hampshire.
Yeah.
The end of February. Hello.
Yep.
So let's have a guess on, you know, what society is going to look like if that happens. Because just look at the psychological effect that just losing your cell phone service had on. And I want to say it was less than 100,000 customers.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
All right, how much of this do you think was like, what do you think was like blown up in the media? That's my question. Because it's like
in the social media, probably.
Right. And it's just to make it seem like worse than it is. Because that's like everything. It's like, okay. Well, I thought it was like, when I heard about that, I mean, 100,000 is a lot of people, but it's also just like, you know, across. Really. Well, for the whole country, right, it's like not jack shit. So it's kind of like, oh, I thought it was way more than that. What do you think, Kristen? Do you think it's a big deal? What do you think the state of the humanity would look like?
It would be so much emotional immaturity, rage. You would just hear people fucking screaming, breaking things. There would be fires. Like, people would just go, people would be like pooping in the streets. Everywhere would be like, yeah, it'd be messed up, man.
Like, people would be going. So everyone would just become emo and would just start shitting everywhere, is what you're saying.
No, the emo people are going to be fine. We're going to be inside writing music, like, just keeping to ourselves.
You consider yourself emo. So this is what I picture. I picture that essentially I rise to power and I become like this war chief, and I just like create a horde, right? I just pillage everything and take control of everything, like whole states, whole towns, you know. And I have a throne on a top of a pile of bodies and like in a chair that's made out of bones and skulls.
I think you're confused.
No, I am not confused.
I think
Ron will also have a giant war horde.
If anyone's got a fucking throne of skulls,
he will be carried around by a bunch of Mexicans on like a one of those thrones.
No, is those pirates are going to come.
Boom. And but this is going to be the thing. Ron and I will have like our own kingdoms, and we'll be in constant.
You know what I'm going to do?
And it'll be like our we'll just fight constantly and just have people go to die for us and get slaughtered, and we'll just keep trying to rise and,
I don't think that's
and take
happen.
More power, and then eventually the end will just be Ron and I on a cliff.
No, it's going to be
side.
You.
No, a volcano side. We'll be battling, and we'll be in the nude.
Let's get real.
Completely naked with
swords. It's going to be you talking to yourself, having a one-way conversation with yourself.
What are you talking about?
That's what the end of the world is going to be. Just you talking.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
but anyway, I bet. So Ron and I will be battling with swords on the side of a volcano, and it'll be shooting lava everywhere. And our war armies will be battling at the base of the mountain, just getting smothered in lava. And eventually, I'll chop Ron's man breasts off, and then shove my sword through his throat and kick his corpse into the volcano.
You really?
And then I will become the grand war chief of the entire world. That's how I see the the old apocalypse dystopian future going for myself.
Mm.
What about you? What do you think you'll end up doing? You'll be like a slave in a mine.
Tell people. Tell them.
You'll probably be a slave in a mine of not my reign, but probably Ron's, because he'll be like, to the mines, and then he'll send you off, and he'll give you like garbs, like swaddling clothing, and you'll just get really dirty, and you'll just like chip away at like random minerals and resources, and then eventually you'll learn the truth and you'll escape across, like, you'll have to travel through the White Mountains to my kingdom. And eventually I'll be like, Kristen, we welcome you with open arms and we'll accept you into my horde. And then from there, it's all up to you. What do you want to be? Do you want to be like a seamstress, a warrior, you want to work on our battle mobiles? What do you want to do? It's up to you.
None of that is happening.
Well, what do you want to do when you join my war horde?
I'm literally not going to be around a single soul.
Where are you going to go? Because I'll own everything.
I'm going to be in the woods brewing acorn soup for myself and all of the little forest animals. And we will live happily ever after.
So what you're saying is I'll have to send my minions to tax you.
Your minions will get there and they'll smell the scent of the acorn soup lingering in the air. And they will just, it's going to be like a love spell. They're going to be so in a trance, they won't even feel their bodies trudging through the forest to get to me. By the time they get there, they're just going to like lay down and be like, oh, acorn soup. That's the best acorn soup I ever had. And then they never want to leave. And then I'm like, so does that motherfucker really have a throne of bones? And he'd be like, yes, madam, but we're already going to go back and get it for you. We're already sent half our men there. They're already on the way back with it. And then, not only do they show up with the throne of bones, they construct a crown for me as well. And they bring that, and they crown me. And then I am dubbed the fucking fairy princess of the forest. And yeah, and then, you know what happens then? And then my husband finally shows up and saves the day. Acorn soup anymore, but I still do because I'm just glad to do it.
I'm pretty sure if you have a husband, you're still going to have to make soup. Probably some sandwiches.
Yeah, because I'm glad to.
Probably some sandwiches, too.
He ain't making no damn sandwiches.
But, I'm picturing your husband in this realm being like some sort of ogre. Probably troll.
Cave, I thought that's where you were in the troll.
Some orc.
Realm.
No. My whole realm is going to be luxurious. It'll be like fashion. There'll be lots of vegetation, plants, waterfalls, scantily clad women, jewels, gold, other people, like smaller war chiefs coming to bring me gifts nonstop, like continuously. And then, like, depending on how the gift is, I'll either kill them, like, I'll just cut their head off, feed them to my warhounds, or pin their body up on, like, my wall of bodies. because I'll have a wall of corpses that, like, anybody I don't like, they go send them to the wall.
You have the imagination. Send them to the wall.
And we'll pin their corpse to the wall, or they get fed to my warhounds. But I will say, if you're not going to join my horde, Kristen, I'll have no... The only choice I'll have is to either tax you heavily. I will tax your acorns. I will tax your acorns very heavily. Or if you do not, you know, if you do not give in to the acorn tax, then I will have no option but to crush your fairy kingdom. Because it's going to, like, it's not going to be worth shit.
But I can communicate with animals, and they will do what I say.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
I have warhounds and a war horde.
Those things don't even
exist. I have a wall of corpses. What do you have, acorns?
Cool, eat your death. Surround yourself with death. Good for you.
Are you going to throw acorns at us? Are you going to put them in a little slingshot and pew, fire them at my wall of corpses?
Your minions will.
I did forget to mention that wall of corpses surrounds my kingdom.
Oh, no, we've heard it. We've heard all about it.
And it also can move because I put wheels on the bottom of it. So I have a moving kingdom, if you didn't.
You know what corpses realize. Do? The ooze. They don't just...
Oh, no. Not these corpses.
What, you resin coated them or...
No, we bleed them out sufficiently, de-organ them. We cut the organs so they fall to the ground. And then my warhounds eat all the organs and lap up most of the blood. But there's a cool stain there just for, like, more effects.
I was wondering when you were going to talk about the stains that are within your kingdom because... Yeah.
What?
Sidecar once.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So, Kristen, how's the piano playing going? Is it going good?
It is going good. I'm having a blast.
Is it really, though? Because I've seen some videos that you've been putting out.
And what about them? I feel like it's going pretty good for someone that doesn't know how to read music, that is playing by, like, ear and making... Yeah, it does nothing to tell you anything. So, next topic...
You said you wanted to bitch about a bunch of shit. What do you want to bitch about?
I don't bitch on air.
You said you wanted to have a bitch fest. Let's hear it. Come on.
I think we were talking about the Dark Night of the Soul, and I was like, I could go on about it and bitch about things, but I don't care to do that. That's why I'm not even going to bring up the piano, because I literally can't even take you trashing that when it's the one positive thing I have in my life right now.
To be fair, I wasn't really trying to... trash it.
Well, actually, it seems like it was going in that direction.
I honestly was interested in how you were doing in it, but it's fine.
I think I'm doing good, but apparently my videos are not good, so.
I'm joking.
It's fine.
I'm just
kidding. Everyone starts somewhere. I've been playing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you shit. You know, if you can't be made fun of or poked fun of, then, like,
I can. I'm just not going to go through the piano stuff when I'm telling you it's the one positive thing in my life. Like, I'm not going to get into it.
Thank God Ron's back.
For real.
Jesus Christ.
Woo! Do you guys get off topic like you typically do?
I was trying to talk about the piano, but I guess we can't talk about the piano.
No, we can't.
It's off limits.
You know me, Ron. I can't take a joke.
I guess, yeah, maybe you can't. I don't know.
Get that from your dad. He couldn't never take a joke either.
Right. I believe it.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just telling you.
No, I believe it.
So this guy, Chris Roma, I don't know, maybe you guys have heard of him, but he was a hiker that just died recently in the White Mountains.
Like, he got, like, lost out there? Or?
The reasons for why he died are, like, I guess haven't officially been released, but he was, like, he was actually a professional hiker. He had, like, an established hiking brand, and he was from Thornton, New Hampshire, and he completed the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Drift Trail, and then the Pacific Northwest Trail. I don't know the names of them, but I think it's considered the Triple Crown if you complete them, because they're just like very, like the Appalachian Trail, they're very long trails that cross multiple states and travel, like, you know, a good portion of the country. But this guy, you know, so he's super experienced. I've heard some people say that he was like an ultralight hiker, and like lots of times ultralight hikers, they travel really light. And they try to go, like, miles. Like, I'm talking crazy miles. I'm not 100% on that, if he was or was not. But anyway, this guy, you know, he ended up dying, and he was in the, he was going up Bodwin Mountain, or it was like Guyot Mountain. But he went out on one day when, you know, it's kind of, it was supposed to be colder, windy, there was supposed to be snow. He went out with a couple people, and he got, they got to a certain point where the weather was just really bad, like super windy, super cold. And the people he was hiking with decided to turn back, and they were like, you know, it's the conditions are too crazy, we're going back. And he was like, I got to beat my time. Like, I want to beat my time. I'm going for, like, a personal best. And he ended up getting stuck out there. He called 911. He called, and then they called, you know, Fish and Game. So they were able to get to his coordinates, and, you know, he was just telling them, like, how fucking cold he was and shit like that. And he, I'm assuming he must have froze to death. I mean, the people that went to, they tried to rescue him, I believe. He called them around 10 p.m. at night on a Tuesday. And I think by the time they were breaking trail, it was like 2 a.m. in the morning. But anyway, so they were breaking trail, and they were saying that, you know, it was too windy. It was so fucking cold. They were going through waist high snow, which I've done a good amount of hiking in the White Mountains. I've never, if you're on trail, I've never encountered waist-high snow.
I went to the Kangamangas like about a week ago, and the trails weren't broken in, and they were definitely taller than waist, right off taller the side of the waist. Road. Yeah, just on the Kangamangas.
Okay, well, I mean, a lot of the trails that you are frequented, which is a lot of them in the White Mountains, they're getting packed down like constantly. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying,
just saying there is some deep snow out there still.
Well, right. I mean, if you step off trail, like I've stepped off trail before and I've sunk down to my waist. So it's like not like it is out there. I'm just saying most trails are packed down pretty good. Depending on snow drifts and the amount of snow you're getting, like obviously there could be more. So I don't know. Like I'm not, you know, that's a fucking hard job to go out and rescue anyone. That's on the side of a fucking mountain for sure. They couldn't get to him, essentially, so they had to call the National Guard in the capital, Concord. And they tried to go and do a helicopter. They tried to land on, I think it was Bodwin Mountaintop. But the weather was too bad, and they tried three times to land. They couldn't land. Guy ended up freezing to death.
That sucks.
The next day, they had to plan an extraction. So they did that. But I think, it's like I like hiking. I haven't been able to go hiking lately. Like I wish I could. I've done a lot of hiking, but this just goes to show like this guy was super experienced, way more experienced than me, and he fucking died just because of the weather and in the White Mountains. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, if you're hiking in the White Mountains, like don't fuck around ever. Like if you think you're bringing too much shit, just bring it anyway, cuz you'd rather have it than not have it. Like, prepare for weather. If it's fucking gonna, if you're planning a hike and then you see that it's gonna be like 7 degrees out that day, plan a different day. Plan it when it's in the 30s or something like that, or high 20s or whatever it is. If you see a lot of snow, wind, just don't fucking go. You can always go the next day. Like, there's no point to just put yourself in that situation, especially like, even if you're, because sometimes, especially at high elevations, the weather can change on a dime. You know, it could be not very windy, and then you get closer to tree line, it's super windy. Or you get above tree line, and it starts fucking snowing. And, you know, that can be very whiteout conditions. You lose the trail. So it's like, you have to consider that shit, too. So, like, if you're hiking, and even if you're, like, kind of getting sort of close and just starts dumping snow, it's easier to hike down in a tree in the tree line where there's a path of trees versus like when you're on a bald faced mountaintop and there's not a lot of trees and it's just rock faces because you don't know where you're going. You could easily step off a ledge or, you know, just down a little hole, whatever it is. frog in the throat. But I just thought, you know, it'd be an interesting story to bring up because I hike, we're close to the White Mountains, and doesn't matter how experienced you are, if you're winter hiking, always, always fucking proceed with caution, no matter what. It's they're different. Winter hiking is a different animal. I know it's not like the elevation that you have in some of these mountains out west and shit like that, but like winter is not a fucking joke. Weather changing rapidly is not a fucking joke. Being cold, not having the right layers, you know, getting too sweaty and then getting cold, even if you have the right shit on, right? If you have like wool, everything, and you're working up a sweat and you get fucking sweaty and you're wet, and then you get to the top where it gets more cold, and then that sweat, you know, you're just in water, and that freezes to the skin. Your skin gets cold. You get hypothermia. You're fucked. Whiteout conditions happen. You fucking roll your ankle. You're 3 miles up a mountain. Break a leg. Whatever it is, like, you're fucked. So just always proceed with caution. Try to be more than prepared. Have the right equipment. Have an extra change of clothes. Have a space blanket. Have a space cocoon. Whatever it is.
Same thing goes just traveling in your car. I mean, when I got in that car accident, I was literally like probably less than 100 feet off the side of the road. But could anyone get to me? Could I get to the road? No, my ankles were fucked. I had no warm clothes. I had nothing. Like I could have died like so close to civilization because I was out there in the cold for so long with nothing. And I didn't have extra pants either. And guess what? Your girl peed. All right, she peed. So bring extra pants too, people.
Woof.
So I guess it all boils down to his preparedness, is what we were talking about, is preparedness, right? Now, this Chris Roma guy, Buckley, when you brought that up, that struck something in my memory. This guy, obviously, you can find out about him everywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
Very well known in what they call the Thru Hiker movement and long-distance hiking community. So our friend of the show, Jody, Laurie's sister, the one that attempted to climb Mount Everest.
Yeah, crazy pants.
I want to say she was either friends with this guy or very good friends with his girlfriend. Mm. And Laurie and I were talking about that. So this guy knew what he was doing, you know, probably been doing it his whole life. And even a person like him got taken out by the White Mountains. And that's... what was that lady that they recently found? She, and I want to say it was like last week, she was missing, and then they found her, not up in the mountains, but they found her in the woods up north.
Yeah.
She was still alive, but she ended up succumbing to hypothermia or whatever, you know, just being in the elements.
Yeah. I mean,
don't mess around up here.
No, you don't. And like I know them as ultra hikers or whatever, but like... ultra light hikers or whatever, like they tend to pack light, which, you know, if you're winter hiking, if you're hiking at all, you want a light pack, but like you also want to have the shit that you need, especially if you're in the winter. Like you want to be able to like have extra layers, have enough water, have food, possibly. I mean, I don't hike with like a tarp or a tent or anything like that. I do have a space blanket, but like possibly have some sort of thing you can set up if you get stranded overnight. But also too, like, look at weather, plan your day hike out. If you're a new hiker, start off on a small fucking hike, like literally small fucking hike, and then work your way up. Also, like, especially if you're in the winter and the sun's going down earlier, like get the fuck up at 4:30 a.m. leave by 5:15, get to the trailhead by 7, whatever. Make sure you have enough time so you're not hiking in the dark. Because hiking, I mean, if you have a headlamp, it's not bad. But if you have a headlamp and you're tired, right, you didn't quite plan the hike good enough, and you're fucking tired, then the sun goes down. Then you're hiking by headlamp. Things are a little more tricky. Start snowing, whatever. Don't plan for shit like that. Plan ahead. Plan everything out in multiple steps. Make sure you dot your I's, cross your T's, and all that, because you do not want to end up like in a bad situation. And also too, I like hiking alone. I love it, not gonna lie, but you're just asking for an increased danger percentage, because like if you're hiking by yourself and you fucking fall, maybe you have your cell phone, maybe it's, you know, has service, maybe it hasn't died because of the cold or whatever, but like if you're hiking alone, oof, just be extra careful. Probably better to hike with people. It's probably more fun to hike with people too, but that's just, I just thought, like, you know, this was an kind of like a tale of caution. And sad, too, because, like, this guy, you know, he obviously he was loved in the hiking community. He had, like, I think he had a 2-year-old daughter and girlfriend or wife or something. And, you know, sucks.
I was just trying to look it up to see how many people died in the White Mountains in the last year. It's at least 3 or 4 because you had those 2 people that I think committed suicide up in the White Mountains. They just decided that they wanted to fucking die.
We're calling it sewer pipes now. And then that girl that went out on her birthday.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, she was also supposedly an experienced hiker, the girl.
I don't think she had much experience.
No, because she was trying to do like so many 4,000 footers, I think, or presidentials before like a certain amount of time. So I think she'd been hiking. I don't know.
This list here goes all the way back to 1849.
Is that the full list?
A total of 173 known fatalities and missing persons on the presidential range.
Since 1849?
That's known. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall it's pretty safe. But it's also like, if you're not being fucking smart about it, like the story I told with my friend, I'm not going to go back into it, but was not prepared at all. You know, no danger, nothing like really bad happened besides that he was just hiking unprepared. So that could lead to a bad situation just in itself.
So that's another precautionary tale when you get back to say the shit hits the fan, right? And we're in a position here where we have winter. Like we have 7 months of shit weather here, right? So you think about that. You know, people that are living in areas that have very mild winters compared to us. And now when our winters are starting to get a little bit mild, I actually read an article the other day where a gentleman was saying that he believes that New Hampshire now is experiencing this, like what he called Virginia winters. And he's probably pretty close because I've been in Virginia in the winter and it's very similar. Like icy ice storms, we get more ice storms than we do snowstorms, right? Like we'll start out getting it'll start out as ice, then it'll get cold. It'll turn into snow, and then it warms back up again, turns back into ice. I mean, it makes a freaking mess, right? So it's kind of the same idea in Virginia. But say, what's the number one thing you got to be concerned about in the wintertime? I mean, in a survival scenario, living up here, actually, it's got its pros and cons as far as, you know, preparedness and what you would have to do. Because in the wintertime, well, you don't have to worry about your food spoiling, right? Because you can set up a box, pack it full of snow, and put your food in there. And it acts like an ice chest, right? So you got that. But, I mean, if you lose power in the summertime, well, that's a different scenario. I mean, yeah, I mean, I have a pool, so I can jump in the pool and cool off. But if it's hot, well, you can't submerge your food in the pool, right? I mean, you gotta figure out ways to keep your food cool, and like what Kristen said, digging a hole, that's actually what they did in the old timers. A friend of mine had a piece of property, it had a root cellar in it, in town here.
But for meat, smart. Would that work?
Yeah.
I feel like it might not be cool enough.
Well, I think if you're going to put meat up, I saw a lot of videos to where you can actually prep meat, and as long as you store it in a cool, dark place, it'll keep okay.
I know you can make jerky, right?
Well, you can do that, but what they were doing was preparing meat and actually canning it, like in canning jars. So anyways, there's a bunch of survival books out there if you're interested in it. But I mean, if you look at the different scenarios that could happen, right? We've already talked about EMP strike, cyber attack, which is a cyber attack is more likely than an EMP attack, right? So I don't know if you've ever heard the book, what is it, 1 Minute After, or then there's another one called 1 Year After. Anyways, I have it in my audiobooks. I'm listening to the first part of the series. But it just shows how people, and even in that scenario, people lost their fucking minds because they couldn't. And one thing early in one of the early chapters is when people were concerned they couldn't get their medication, right? And especially diabetics, because insulin has to be kept cool, right? So that can't get warm. And if diabetics don't get their insulin, well, they fucking die. Plain and simple, right? Nice. So, but that leads me to, because what else happened when the AT&T cell phones went down? A pharmacy chain or a pharmacy group got hacked, allegedly by Black Hat, which is the hacking group. They hacked into their systems, and it disabled a lot of medical records, and it disabled pharmacies, so pharmacies were not able to fulfill people's prescriptions.
There was also a holdup in the dental world, too, because a lot of the like the Medicare claims, their systems got hacked, too, and they weren't even able to, they didn't even feel comfortable enough connecting to any other paying insurance companies because they were scared of what, they didn't even know what was safe, what wasn't anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, that small group, Black Hat, and they've actually done movies about them, right? Just what they were able to do to just this pharmacy setup should be an indication that they might have been doing that just as a warning. They're saying it was ransomware. But, you know, who knows if they paid a ransom or not? I have no idea. I mean, that's not a new concept. We've been hearing about ransomware for quite a few years now. But if you take a lot of these things in conjunction, power outage, cell phone outage, because sometimes you can lose power, but your cell phone will still work, right? As long as the towers are powered up. Because a lot of these towers, they're powered up by secondary electricity, right? So that's one thing. And then you have a hack on other infrastructure, like water, for instance, if you live in an area that you rely on city water, and like not being able to get your medication. And I think that's something that the Deagle report was actually referring to, is that through a combination of multiple things, this is why the U.S. population would possibly drop by 75%, right? It was not just from one thing, but a combination of things. Now, believe what you want or what goes around on Twitter X, right? But I saw today, and I've been working really hard staying away from social media, and I'm doing good with it. I'm doing good with staying away from it.
Shit's rough.
But I was on there today because I wanted to look up the one video where this mayor down in Georgia was deflecting the fact that an illegal migrant who had been previously arrested for coming across the border illegally killed that student at University of Georgia who was out jogging. And they arrested him, and then they found his brother, and his brother was here with a fake green card, right? Okay, so we know that's happened. That's been in the news. Anybody listening to this probably already familiar with the story. However, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. This mayor comes on, and basically, to paraphrase, don't blame it on the migrants. Basically, Trump caused this.
That makes sense to me, honestly.
That Trump caused it.
Yeah, I mean, he's caused a lot of things.
Yeah.
White supremacy, Hitler, the Holocaust.
Anti-Semitism.
All that shit.
Okay, but anyway, so as I was looking for that video, I came across these videos from RT News. Now, RT News, we know, is Russian-controlled, like what they call alternative news, right? Mm. But it's Russian-controlled. And have I watched some of the videos? Yeah, I've watched quite a few of them, actually. But in the videos, it shows Russia moving some of its nuclear ICBMs to put them in place, so that they can shoot them off. Because, and whether or not this report is also true, Putin is warned, if you let Ukraine become part of NATO, if NATO troops start boots on the ground in Ukraine fighting Russians directly, you'll have less than 5 minutes to see what our reaction will be. Something to take seriously. Now, could it be propaganda? 100%. We can't believe what's coming out of Ukraine. We can't believe what's coming out of Russia either. But Putin don't mess around. And he's tired of being fucked with.
Did you watch his thing with Carlson?
I did.
Yeah. The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Was it good? Can you tell us about that a little bit? I didn't watch it.
There isn't much to tell. You can go on Twitter. It's on Twitter. Mm. You can just go on Tucker Carlson's page and watch the whole video.
Do you have any, like... just brief, like...
Well, Putin deflected a lot of questions.
Mm, okay.
I think Tucker went kind of light on him on some things and not so light on him on other things. It was a very good interview. Now, of course, Tucker Carlson got a lot of blowback. There were people in the United States that were calling for him to be arrested. Arrested for treason. Okay, he's a journalist. He's a journalist. However, how many other United States journalists, American journalists, have gone over there and interviewed Putin? Like, there's a whole long list.
You're just not allowed to interview, like, what, leaders of countries if you're a journalist?
Well, they didn't want him interviewing Putin, obviously, because of the Russian-Ukraine war.
That's dumb.
So anyways, the video is on X. You can go and check those out. It's on the RT News site. And actually, I also discovered that RT News has been shut off in Europe. So if you're on Twitter X in Europe, you can't access their feed. Like they've been shut off over there in Europe. You can get it in the United States still. Because when I saw a guy say that, what's going on here? I can't see what's going on at RT News. I said, well, I went to their site on X and it was fine. It was right there. But anyways, so whatever, you know, was going on now because of this opposition leader that was opposing Putin for years, turns up dead, like, was that a week or so ago? And people were saying, oh, his, you know, the KGB or whatever it's called now. It's not called KGB. It's called something else. They beat him to death. And then now the reports, of course, you're only going to get the Russian version. Oh, no, he died from a dislodged blood clot. Well, how do you get a blood clot from you pounding him in the head?
Vaccines, baby.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But anyways, so Biden meets with his wife, you know, and that was a big to-do. And then now Biden, I'm introducing 500 more, what's the things that they do? Sanctions. Ugh. 500 new sanctions against Russia. Okay, dude, sanctions against Russia doesn't work. Putin has taken every sanction that we've ever put on him, plus blowing up his Nord Stream pipeline, and turned it into a plus for him. So,
did you see
sanctions don't mean shit.
Did you see his post Super Bowl commercial?
Whose?
Biden's.
No.
It was all about like how companies are raising the prices of stuff and like,
yeah, let's blame it on everybody else, right?
And he's just like, that's not cool, Jack. Like, you can't raise the price come on, of ice man. Cream. Come on, Jack.
Come
like,
on,
you
can't man.
Raise the, and he's like, they're just doing it slowly, so like nobody notices.
Yeah, they're going to take just advantage like, of the situation. And
you're talking about inflation, Biden. Is that what you're fucking talking about? Because that didn't start happening until you started being president.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can look at a lot of things that have all happened when he became president, right? Yeah. What really pisses me off is when it comes. Constantly blame it on the Trump administration, like the border. Oh, we got a problem at the border, Jack. Come on, man. This is Trump's fault. Anyways,
fucking Trump.
Again, I don't want to get into all that because we all know it's fucking bullshit.
I believe it's Trump.
Yeah, well, you would. So it's totally bullshit.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But anyways, just
pay attention to the script.
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah. So listen. Just get out there. Start preparing yourself. I want to say, you know, I don't like to use dates. I don't like to predict what's going to happen in the future. But all indicators show that something's probably going to go down.
Fake alien attack.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's even going to be that.
It's happening tomorrow.
It's going to be an attack somewhere. Look at all these military age men coming into the country. Now you see conflicts in all these different big cities. You see this shit going on. Fucking murders, rapes, kidnappings, all kinds of crazy shit, and you just know that something's going to happen. It's going to happen. So be prepared. Get out there and get your shit together.
Don't vote.
Make a pact with your neighbors.
Don't vote.
If you're lucky enough to have neighbors you get along with, if you don't get along with them, maybe put out the olive branch and you can say, listen, we can agree to disagree, but we should all agree on this one thing. When the shit hits the fan, we need to work together on this.
I've been putting myself in small boxes since I was young, so practice hiding in silence.
I've like, already got a plan.
That's how the war chiefs come and find you. We've already established that, Chris.
I'm
not going to hide like Anne Frank in someone's fucking attic.
I already have a plan for Kristen. You're going to be fine.
I'm in the forest making acorn soup for the animals and myself, and we will rise.
I'm going to become a cult leader. You should see all the Kool-Aid recipes I have.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Great. I got a Kool-Aid. Couple of good ones, yeah. too.
Melisade. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Kristen, what do you got for final words?
So I did a background check on you for that felony case.
If you try to look up my criminal record, you can't find it.
Because they took care of it.
That's bad.
Because it's a federal record. Even I allegedly can't get access to it. So it is what it is. If you look up my criminal record in the state, it's completely, there's nothing there.
I know some people.
All right. Well, you see what you can do with it then.
I feel like we're the only ones you know.
Chris. All right, Buckley, what do you got for final words?
Anyway, my closing words are, when you're hiking in the woods, be careful. Kristen, I wish you all the success. Success.
I don't even care. I don't need your wishes.
With your piano playing. And I hope you reach your goals and achieve everything that you are trying to achieve in that department. I am also working on some musical stuff.
Is that what your book's about?
Nope. And I'm working on mandolin. And I'm also trying to work on my bluegrass style guitar playing, which is fucking kind of hard.
The finger rolls?
No, just flat picking and like learning bluegrass riffs and rhythm and getting up to speed, because bluegrass is played pretty fucking fast, and when you pick or like do lead, it's even fucking faster. So I'm kind of trying to learn, like I get the scales and all that and the timing and the rhythm, but it's so fast, and it's like the stylistic components I'm trying to learn, because you know bluegrass has a lot of weird styles based around pentatonic and like G major scale. So you know, if you're playing in the key of G, you're not always just playing like a G major scale. You throw in like
and
a lot of minor notes and like
a lot of open tunings.
Walk into a riff, walk into a chord types of things. And it's also fucking fast. Did I mention that? It's fucking fast.
All right, cool. All right, so you know where to find us. You can find me on Instagram at Ron from New England and the Wicked Planet Podcast. You can find Tristan Buckley at Tristan.A.Buckley on Instagram, and he isn't anywhere else. And you can find me on Twitter X at Ron from NE. And Kristen, let everybody know where they can find you.
Instagram, ethereal.ghost919. In the bio, you can find my Deer and Crow page and some other pages there. And then also, just so everybody knows, if you buy a candle, there's no fucking tax on it. Just saying.
You can also find her at bodybag.com.
And stay spooky, motherfuckers.
And you can go on her OnlyFans, kristensfeet.com.
Ooh. Oh, I'm putting jelly on them, by the way. I'm putting jelly on my toes tonight.
Oh, you should do videos of your toes and have your cat lick your toes. Like, put on little,
what the
put
no. little fuck is wrong
You can't
you,
bring
Ron.
Your animal into the video.
What is wrong with you?
No.
It's disgusting.
I didn't know that.
That's the one thing I do know is that they don't let you put animals because
bestiality.
Yeah, because people are sick. Men are sick. They're like, oh, there's a cat in the room. Can you
Years ago there was this thing on Tumblr. There was this chick. There was
can
this chick.
No,
no, listen, I'm gonna say this real quick, then we're gonna get out of here. There was this chick on Tumblr. She'd go, okay, everybody get over it. It is what it is. I fuck dogs.
Good.
With that. Join a Telegram chat. If you got anything you want to email us at thewickedplanetpodcast@gmail.com. Kristen?
Yeah?
You're going to say stay spooky?
I did. Stay spooky, motherfuckers. Buy a candle. Be nice to animals.
What happened to your weird ba?
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Her sheep got scrapies. Ron from New England signing off.
Buckley.
're back at the Wicked Planet Podcast.
Hold
episode.
On. You got to give it a few seconds.
You do have to give it like 3 seconds.
Yeah. And begin.
We're back at the Wicked Planet Podcast. Fuck you.
All right. 3, 2.
Episode 150. We're back here at the Wicked Planet Podcast, where apparently the word on the street is that I don't have enough pizzazz. So how is this? The dark night of my soul is about to bleed onto everybody. We're joined by Ron, who apparently used to collect nymphomaniacs, people, okay? He was a victim, and it's not okay. He's actually turned his hobby. Okay, I'm going to start over.
And I didn't collect them. I only had.
Fuck's going on, Kristen?
Two.
I told you.
Introduce the show, guys.
I had two.
What happened with the Dark Knight thing?
Two nymphomaniac women in my life. One was a girlfriend.
The Dark Knight. Start with that.
One was a wife.
Start with the Dark Knight. Welcome.
Okay.
Dark Knight, go.
Welcome to episode 150 of the Wicked Planet podcast, where I am having a dark night of the soul, and I am ready to bleed onto everybody. No, I'm not going to say that because that.
Leave the bleeding part out. Because the first thing a dude is going to think of.
I know.
All over you.
Is when a chick says she's going to bleed on you. Exactly. And start out with, welcome to the Wicked Planet podcast.
No, she doesn't have to do that.
Well, it just sounds better.
You can do whatever you want, but you got to say the name of the show, and you got to just say, you know, do your thing. At least say the name of the show.